While you're standing, we're going to dismiss our children for Children's Church. Let them go and have a good time on their level in the Word of God. God bless our kids and God bless our teachers. Amen. And those of us that are in here, I'm going to ask everybody to turn to a certain scripture, except for the sound man and all of our teenagers. Praise God. Because I got a $5 bill that's just been kicking around in my wallet. And I'm tired of the fuss. I would like to give this to some special young person right now. And all you gotta do is quote Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Raise your hand if you think you can do it. All right, Sister Mallory, now you raised your hand first. All right, are you ready?
Then
are you sure?
Yes, I'm ready. Are you ready? Okay. Then Peter.
What are you laughing about?
Okay. Are you sure? Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you." And what are you doing? Oh, you're scaring me. In the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Did she get it right? Well, then I'm forced to give her 5, right? Cool. Got somebody else grabbed it and said, "Thank you." You never know when the blessings of God are going to come as a direct result of your knowing the Word of God. When you put the Word of God in your heart, the Bible says, David said, he said, "Let me hide that Word of God in my heart that I might not sin against you." Amen. We can sin sometimes and not even know that we're in sin when we don't have a knowledge of the Word of God. That's why the Bible says, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." Amen. People get upset and carry on a bunch of nonsense, and it's because of their traditions, but it's not because of the Word of God. I've seen people get mad at the Word of God and defend tradition, but it's a time to get back to the black back book. Everybody say, "My Bible." Amos prophesied many years ago, and he said that there would be a famine in the land. A famine means a time of starvation. And he said, but it would not be a starvation and a famine of food, but it would be a lack of knowledge of the Word of God. And if we have ever been there, ladies and gentlemen, even in America, we are there tonight. And so let's continue to stand on the Word of God. You never know, somebody might come by and give you $5 to quote Acts chapter 2, verse 38. All right, now let's turn there for everybody and let's get a good look at the Word of God. Seems only appropriate tonight that we would talk about water baptism, the Bible way. Everybody say, "The Bible way." Amen. And seeing that, I understand correctly that someone is going to be baptized tonight? All right, wonderful, awesome. Because the Bible said, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized." How many of them? "Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ." For what? "For the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." And so we're going to give you a little more sound Bible doctrine tonight. And that we're going to talk about water baptism the Bible way. And everybody shouted amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Take notes. Write the scripture down. And let's understand the scripture a little more before we leave tonight. Hallelujah. Water baptism according to the word of God that we've read tonight, is for the remission or the washing away. That's what remission means. Your hands are dirty, you wash them, you have remitted the dirt. And so water baptism is for the remission of sins and is an essential part of the plan of salvation. Certainly, it is a part of salvation to have my sins washed away. Amen? This baptism must be administered by immersion in water in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm saying these things, but that's not enough. Let's back up what I'm saying with the Scripture. Ladies and gentlemen and young people, please, when you get involved in a conversation with people that want to argue with you and debate with you, please make sure that they give you Scripture and verse. Because that's what you're going to give them, right? Amen. So, let's talk about it. Water baptism is a symbol of conversion. And so, let's look at that. The Bible talks about fruits that are meat for repentance. Now, we are not going to baptize anybody that has not repented of their sins. Because to baptize someone that is unrepented is to give somebody a free bath. That's all it is. It's a rinsing. It's not a baptism. Because a person has got to come to God and ask Him for His mercy, ask Him for His grace, surrender their lives to Him, get up and walk away a different way than which they came. That's repentance. Amen. Let's take a look at Matthew chapter 3, verses 5 through 8. Matthew 3, verses 5 through 8. The Word of the Lord says, "Then went out to Him Jerusalem and all Judea, and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of Him in Jordan, confessing their sins." You see that? You can't have baptism without forgiveness of sins. You can't have sins remitted or washed away before you repent. And they were baptized of Him in Jordan, confessing their sins. Now, but when He saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to Him in His baptism, He said unto them, now these were the hypocrites of the day, and He said unto them, "O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance." In other words, if you're going to come up in here and say you've repented, show us. Prove it. Amen. Show us that you've repented of your sins and you've asked God for forgiveness and that you've asked Him for mercy. You can see that baptism is a certain symbol for conversion. Those who accepted John's teaching of repentance were baptized in water. The Bible does not record the words spoken by John over baptismal candidates, but it does show that he refused to baptize those who had not repented. When one could show fruits meet for repentance, John would baptize him. Baptism is absolutely ineffective if it's not preceded by repentance. So, now, those that are baptized in Jesus' name, when you come up out of the water, you have become a disciple. You have become a disciple. Now, what is a disciple? John chapter 4, verse number 1, brother, plainly declares what that means. And so look with me at John 4 and 1. "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John." Listen, what John 4 and 1 declares is that those who were baptized were called disciples. A disciple is a follower of a certain teacher. And they're not only a follower of that teacher, but they are a student of that teacher's disciplines. So that teacher is going to teach them his particular discipline. And so most of the word disciple is discipline. And so if you're going to become a disciple of Jesus Christ, we must discipline ourselves to learn of Him and to know more of Him so that we can be a greater follower of Him. A traditional symbol of acceptance of those teachings was baptism in water. This public statement demonstrated that the candidate was unashamed to be associated with the teacher and his teaching. Does that make sense? Now, for those who received or receive, constantly receive the word, after Peter preached the plan of salvation in Acts 2:38, those who gladly received the word were indeed baptized. This was a public demonstration that they had accepted what he preached. Now, in Acts chapter number 8, verse number 12, Brother Sound Man, believers are to be baptized. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Hallelujah. And so every believer should be baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus. Can you say amen? Praise God. Baptism is also the putting on of Christ. Hallelujah. I don't want to just say, I believe in Him. Did you know the scripture said the devil believes in Him and trembles? He doesn't just believe in Him. He trembles. He's afraid of Him. But can I ask you another question? Is the devil saved? Certainly not. And so, believing is a good step, but we must step way beyond the dimensions of simply believing in Jesus Christ. Amen. We must put Him on. I don't want to just know Him and know about Him. I want to wear Him. I want Him on me. I want Him in me. I want Him above me, under me, around me, and through me. I want to be saturated and permeated with the presence of Jesus Christ. In Paul's letter to the Galatians in chapter 3, verse 27, that apostle said that being baptized into Christ is the very same thing as putting on Christ. When one believes in Jesus, he publicly expresses this belief by being baptized in water in the name of Jesus. And the meaning and the purpose of water baptism, praise God, goes far beyond this symbol of simple conversion. But a definite purpose for baptism is to publicly express your particular faith in the Lord and His particular doctrine. There's a lot of doctrine out there. There's a lot of stuff people believe. But listen, there's only one Word of God. There is only one Word of God. And I will say this. This isn't like Anne of Green Gables. This isn't like the Three Musketeers. This is nothing like Pilgrim's Progress. This is the Word of God. So this book is the only book that is a living organism. These words are alive. These words are to be adhered to. Let me tell you how important the Word of God is. The Word of the Lord said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and then the Word was God. And then the Word became flesh. That was Jesus Christ. And so in being obedient to this, you are being obedient to Him. You can't be obedient to Him until you're obedient to this. I know that may not sound very deep to you here tonight, but I'm telling you, I just spoke a revelation to about 90% of our world. They had no idea about that. But it's true. Amen. And so water baptism is to be done by immersion. That means completely taken under the water. Praise God. You know, it doesn't matter what the church name is. It doesn't matter if it's Pentecostal. It doesn't matter if it's Baptist, Presbyterian, or Methodist. As long as you do what you got to do the Bible way. Right? You say, I don't know. Well, I do know. Do you know what Baptist means? It means one who baptizes. You know what Methodist means? A group that has a certain method. Well, it's fine to baptize as long as you baptize in Jesus' name. It's fine to have a method as long as the method is from the Word of God. But baptism, let's look at Romans chapter number 6 and verse number 4. Which I'll tell you why we need to be immersed and taken underwater when we're baptized. Because Romans 6 and 4 said, therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death. We are buried with Him. And so when we're buried with Him in baptism, that means we are taken under the water. In the name of Jesus, there is nowhere in the Word of God where anybody was ever sprinkled, ever. That's a dangerous doctrine. And so we're buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Praise God. Now, John chapter 3. Verse number 23, John chapter 3, let's look at that. Verse number 23, praise God. And it came to pass, okay then. You're going to have to chase me, brother. We got to go. I'm going to fire you like a rocket. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother Jay said, that's fine. The pay's the same. And John also was baptizing in Anon near to Salem, because why was he baptizing there? Somebody read it out loud. Because there was much water there. You don't need a lot of water to sprinkle folks. But if you're going to take them under, you need much water there. And they came and they were baptized. Okay? So, that's enough of that argument. Let's look at the historical references. Praise God. Certain encyclopedias such as Schaff, Herzog, Encyclopedia, Volume 1, page 451, confirms that baptism was always a burial. And the command to baptize was a command to immerse. Praise God. We got a lot more of that theological jargon, but I think you get my meaning. Water baptism should happen every time, all of the time, in the name of Jesus. Praise God. That is the great commission from the Word of God. We read it to you from the very beginning. There are three definite renditions of the Great Commission. The last command Jesus gave to His disciples before His ascension was in Matthew. Let's get this, brother. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Let's look at that tonight and understand the Word of God. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Okay, everybody say, now Jesus is the boss. He said, go you therefore and teach all nations. Did it say all nations? Did it say just the Jews? Did it say just the Old Testament? It said every nation, baptizing them in the name. In the name. Not titles, not names, plural, but in the name of the Father. Jesus said, I've come in my Father's name. You just saw it in the scripture before this, where He said, all power is given unto me, both in heaven and in earth. I got it all. It's me. And so He said, in the name of the Father, and the name of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. How many sons do we have here tonight? Is that your name? How many fathers do we have here tonight? Is that your name? Do you have a spirit? Sure you do. Praise God. Jesus knew that the disciples knew exactly who He was referring to when He said, in that name, and we'll show you more here momentarily. It includes the instruction to baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Notice that the word name is singular. Let's look at Mark 16:16. Praise God. Mark 16 and verse number 16. It primarily declares that baptism is necessary for salvation. Amen. But look at this. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Future tense. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. I didn't say this, ladies and gentlemen. I didn't write this in a book and give it to you because I feel like that's what I should say. I'm saying that because I am under a mandate from God to preach the unadulterated truth of God's Word. And this is God's Word. This is a very serious business, serving God and living for the Lord. Amen. And only the serious survive. Only the serious make the trip. Because when you come, it ain't about you. It ain't about what you think or how you feel. It's all about Jesus and what He teaches and what He, the Word of God says. Can you say amen? Praise the Lord. Praise God. Luke's record of the Great Commission in chapter 24, verse 46 through 47, teaches that repentance and remission of sins, which will be tied to baptism later in the lesson, should be preached in His name. Praise God. So, the name of the Father, the name of the Son, the name of the Holy Ghost. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. Hallelujah. Let's look at it. Matthew 1, verse number 21. Matthew 1, verse 21. There's a revealing here in this scripture. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name what? Say it again. Say it again. Say it again. For he shall save his people from their sins. Every individual in the world belongs to him, even before they repent of their sins. I didn't say they were saved, but they belong to Him. And so, if they want to be saved, they need to go to Him, and they must call on His name, because He has the only saving name. Right? Praise God. There is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. So we must be saved by that name. Amen. I heard the story just a couple of days ago, how a couple had a little boy, and they wound up before a judge trying in an effort, all-out effort, to get that boy's name to be Christ. And finally the judge hit his little mantle on the desk, and he said, "You know what? That name's already taken. Just go find another one. There is no other Jesus. There is no other Christ. There is no other God. And if there is no other God, let's find His way and let everybody else that's doing whatever they're doing do whatever they got to do. But let's not, I'm not pointing you my way. I'm pointing you in the direction of His way." Can you say amen? Hallelujah. It must be a good way, or we wouldn't have the growth and the revival and the evangelism and the renewing that we're having here in Lexington, North Carolina. I didn't adopt this crowd of folks. I didn't adopt this building. We didn't adopt this land. We came with 12 folks. Amen. And look what the Lord has done. If you want to see a crowd come back Sunday when everybody's not having to work, when there's not a host of folks out of town, I'm just saying, my God is honoring His Word and giving us church growth and evangelism, and He is blessing because we are standing on the promises of God. Amen. Jesus is the name of the Son. The Lord stated in John chapter 5, verse 43, that He came in His Father's name. John chapter 5. And verse 43, that He came in His Father's name. If we're calling Him Jesus, then that must be the name of the Father. John 14, 26 reveals, John 14, 26 reveals that the Holy Ghost would come in the name of Jesus. There is but one name which can satisfy Matthew 28, 19, and that is the name of Jesus. You know what the name of Jesus means? It means Jehovah Salvation. That's what it means. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The author of Hebrews declares in chapter 9, verse 22, that the shedding of blood is essential for the remission of sins. And that's why, animals and bulls, goats, pigeons, turtle doves, and all manner of animals were sacrificed in the Old Testament until that perfect sacrifice finally came. And that perfect sacrifice was the Son of God, or the very flesh of God, and He gave His life. He bled for our sins, and so now our sins can be washed away by the blood of the Lamb if we are obedient to the Word of God. Amen. So the author tells us that the shedding of blood is essential for the remission of sins. As earlier lessons talked to us about, Peter said, and he claimed in Acts 2:38, that remission of sins is associated with water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. When the priest offered sacrifices under the Old Testament tabernacle plan, he washed his hands at the laver, and that signified the water baptism in Jesus' name that was to come in the New Testament. In 1 John chapter 5 and verses 5 through 8, you can find that the water, spirit, and blood must be in agreement. You can't leave out one or the other. Water, spirit, and blood. Praise God. Now, reading John 19, verse 30 and 34... reveals that these same three elements departed from Jesus at the time of His death. He gave up the ghost, or He gave up the spirit. Hallelujah. And the Bible let us know that water and blood flow from His side. So He gave up. That's not the only thing He gave up. Do you understand what I'm telling you? He gave up the spirit. He gave up the water. And He gave up the blood. Just so it can cover our sins when we repent and are baptized in His wonderful name and filled with His wonderful Spirit. Somebody ought to praise Him for that. That water, that Spirit, that blood that left Him will come to you at repentance, water baptism, and the infilling of His Spirit. Hallelujah. Praise God. Acts chapter 2, verse 38 is not the only verse that ties remission of sins to baptism. Let's look at Luke 24, verse number 47. Luke 24, verse 47. And that repentance, somebody say, and remission of sins, that's baptism. We learned that in Acts 2:38. Should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning but not stopping at Jerusalem. Praise God. Hallelujah. We've already shown that this refers to baptism. John 20 and 23 records the event when Jesus commissioned His disciples to remit sins. He wasn't giving them the power to forgive sins. You know, I'm sorry, but the Catholic Church has got it wrong. There's not a man sitting up in there with a censer that puts out a little bit of smoke, with a silly hat on and a robe, that can go to you and forgive your sins. What authority does he have? Did he hang on the cross for me? Hello? And then to have the audacity to tell me that I got to go to Jesus' mama before I get to him. Mary had nothing to do with the remission of my sins other than that she carried the very flesh that was going to die for my sins. And that was her job. Once she did that, she was done. The only one that can forgive sins is Jesus Christ. Praise God. He is my advocate with the Father, or with the Spirit of God. Amen. Hallelujah. And so, Mark 2 and 7, the only act this could be associated with is water baptism. The disciples administered this, water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Notice, every time they baptized in the name of the Lord. What is His name? It's essential. This is what people just don't want to hear. They don't want to hear what they got to do to be saved. They don't want to, can I just be plain and very simple, pardon my colloquialism, but they don't want a guy to do nothing to be saved. They want Jesus to carry the cross. They want Him to do all the bleeding. They want Him to do all the sacrifice. They want Him to do all the showing up. They want Him to do... Listen, He said, take up your cross and follow Me. Some of the things I faced, you're going to have to face. Some of the things I fought, you're going to have to fight. Some of the things I endured, you're going to have to endure. I'm just simply saying, according to the Word of God, baptism in Jesus' name is a must and an essential. If this is true, and it is, a person's sins are not remitted until he's baptized in Jesus' name. Circumcision was a required symbol of obedience in the Mosaic law in the Old Testament. Amen. It is not a must in the New Testament. If one was not circumcised, he was not a Jew. No exceptions were made. Colossians 2, 11 and 12, let's look at it. Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. It identifies baptism as a spiritual circumcision of the church, in whom also you're circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. It's not a physical circumcision. It is a spiritual circumcision of the heart, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. What is that saying exactly? It is saying, according to the Jews in the Old Testament, their children had to be circumcised in order to be a full-fledged Jew. Jesus is saying, you must be baptized in His name if you want to belong to His full-fledged church. Praise God. Jesus' words in Mark 16 teach us that baptism is essential to salvation when He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Doesn't come any plainer than that. So, let's hear the conclusion of the matter. The early church practiced baptism in water by immersion in the name of Jesus Christ. The early church did it. The first New Testament church did this. Now, let me tell you the good news about the rest of the New Testament. And that is this. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so if it was right for the beginning of this New Testament church, it will be right until this New Testament church is gone up to see Him in the clouds. Let's stand together, shall we? Each person must choose whom they're going to follow, what they're going to follow, how they're going to follow that. But the most important question is they've got to choose why they are following that. That's your choice. That's your decision. I am just going to preach the whole Word of God so that you can make a proper choice. So that you won't be able to stand before God and say, I didn't know. I made choices that were not right, but it's because I didn't know. Well, the Lord sent this preacher here to preach it so you could know. I know I'm not going to be the most popular preacher in town. That's not my desire. My desire is for my epitaph to simply say, he preached the truth, and that's all God asked of him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So as the disciples, they obeyed. If they were in error then, our Bible is in error tonight. Each person, listen, God and His Word, or the admitted alterations of they admitted that they've alterated the Word of God. Why not be identified with Jesus by taking on His name in water baptism? How many of you ever prayed, and when you finished praying, you said, in the name of Jesus? Yeah, everybody. I mean, we pray over our food and we conclude it with, in the name of Jesus. We pray over our sick and we conclude it and say, in the name of Jesus. Hey, how about when you want to lay that old life down and end it and take up a new life living for Jesus Christ? When you go down, let us say, in the name of Jesus. Not in the name of the church, not in a title, which is a Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Those are titles. But in the name of Jesus. I understand we have one to baptize tonight. If there's anyone else that's never been baptized in the wonderful, mighty, powerful, awesome name of Jesus Christ, then you need to be rebaptized. Did you know that John's disciples were rebaptized? They were asked. They said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? They said, we haven't heard of any Holy Ghost. What are you talking about? What's the Holy Ghost? And this is scripture. And then they said, well, then how were you baptized? And they said, I'll have you to know John the Baptist baptized us. And John's baptism was good, but you see, he was baptizing still in the Old Testament. He was simply blazing a trail for Jesus to come along. After the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is when the New Testament was born, and so a new baptism came on the scene. And they said, okay, we understand now. John didn't preach the Holy Ghost because the Holy Ghost hadn't been poured out. John didn't preach baptism in Jesus' name because it wasn't the proper time yet. But now you need to be baptized in Jesus' name. And they were baptized. They were baptized. So, you're saying, do I need to be rebaptized? What do you think? Because it doesn't matter what I think. According to the word of the Lord tonight, how do you feel about it? How do you feel about it? Someone asked me a long time ago how I felt about it, and I was like that young man that got baptized today. I said, I need it, and I want it right now. And I've never regretted it, not once. Ever. And I actually thank God that I've been a little bit of an influence of thousands of others being baptized in Jesus' name. And I hope to have that influence more so before the rapture takes place. Why don't we just, I know it's Bible study night and it's not what we would say usual service, but why don't we bow our heads and build an altar right where you stand? And let's just commit our lives and hearts to God again. Let's give ourselves to the truth of God's Word. Why don't we just give our hearts to a hunger for the Scripture? Let's give our minds. Let your mind adopt the true Word of God and the Scripture tonight. Hallelujah. Why don't you ask the Lord to make you an open book? That the Lord can just fill in the pages with His Word. Hallelujah. Say the name of Jesus. Say the name of Jesus. Say the name so precious. Pain.
When you don't know what else to pray, and you can't find the words to say the name.
Somebody say Jesus. Say Jesus.
I love Him, Jesus.
Say Jesus.
Jesus, when you
And at that name, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. Praise God. One of these young ladies would help us to prepare this young lady to be baptized. And Brother Carson Marshman would do us the honors. Thank the Lord for another teenager that has turned serious about serving the Lord. That is to be commended. That is to be appreciated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you tonight. I believe her dad. Is this the dad? Thank you for being here, sir. Thank you so much. Yes. Woo. We baptize so many young people and their parents don't even come. Thank you so much for being here for your daughter's baptism tonight. God